Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Let's check in on the Adelsons, shall we? Remember them? The glamorous dental dynasty turned murder for a hire courtroom soap opera? The once palatial pillars of privilege who decided that a messy custodial battle could be neatly solved with a bullet to the head. Those folks?
Yeah, all right. The Adelson family.
Well, two of them are behind bars. The verdicts have dropped, the cameras are backed away, and the courtroom has been cleared for its next act. You might be wondering what happened after the curtain falls on people like Donna and Charlie. Spoiler alert, they don't ride off into the sunset. They get booked, and once they're booked, they're processed. And once they're processed, they go exactly where they belong. Into Florida's penal system, where, as it turns out, reality hits a little harder than a jury reading guilty. You wondering what's up with them right now? What's going on with Donna? How is she handling life behind bars? Because we know she was doing so well previously when she had that hearing in summer about, oh my gosh, the mattresses are uncomfortable and my earwax is horrible and da 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 da. I'm sure it's better now, right? Oh, no. The matriarch, the orchestrator, the doting grandma with a warm smile and a murder plot. On September 13th, just 9 days after her conviction for orchestrating the 2014 hit on FSU law professor Dan Markell, Donna Adelson was caught doing something almost unthinkable in her new surroundings, crying loudly, repeatedly. So loudly, in fact, that corrections officers at the Leon County Jail filed a report. Because when your grief echoes through a pod full of female inmates, some of whom would sell the sound of your sniffles for a sentence reduction, it becomes a security concern. According to the jail log, Donna was sobbing uncontrollably, pounding on the door of her cell and shouting, "I can't take it anymore," which is, of course, ironic because just a few months earlier, she seemed to be handling things quite well, even planning a hasty one-way trip to Vietnam with no extradition treaty. But 9 days behind bars, that's the line? That's where things break for you, Donna? This wasn't just some quiet existential unraveling. This was a full-blown vocal performance. She wasn't whispering sweet nothings into her tablet. "Charlie, I love you. I love you, my son. I'm so sorry. We could never consummate our Norman Bates-like relationship." Oh, wait, maybe she didn't. Anyway, she wasn't whispering sweet nothings into her tablet. She was loudly proclaiming that the judge, the lawyers, the jurors, everyone really had gotten it wrong. She's now known as inmate 274451. That sounds about, sounds like Donna Adelson, right? 274451. Sounds pretty close. So 274451, for the record, is her name now. That's Donna, a number. No more Dr. Adelson's wife. No more Boca brunches. No more micromanaging the family empire. Just an aging witch in a cement cell, yelling at the walls and calling it justice. It gets better or worse, depending on your perspective, because corrections officers didn't just note the outburst. They flagged it, not because they were concerned for Donna's feelings, but because she was blurting out details of her trial in a direct supervision housing unit. That means other inmates with earshot could hear every word. And in the jail economy, privileged information is a form of currency. Donna wasn't just venting, she was practically auditioning new informants. To be clear, she didn't say, "I did it." There was no tearful confession, allegedly, but she also didn't say at any point, "I'm innocent." What she said over and over was more a version of, "They screwed me." And there's a big difference.
Innocent people usually cling to that word like a life raft. Donna, she's clinging to the idea that everyone else is incompetent. You know, just like how she reacted when they read the guilty verdict. I can just picture her. We know that we all see that one shot, the side profile shot of her in the air. Like a bird whose foot you just stepped on at the park by mistake. Sorry, little ducky. I can't say I've ever accidentally stepped on a bird's foot, but I imagine that's how it might go. Which brings us to her son, Charlie. A chip off the old block. The swaggering periodontist who once Instagrammed vacations and Ferraris and now finds himself flipping out in the 6x9-foot cell with all the grace of a man who thinks prison staff should know their place. Let's rewind to September 4th, the day Donna was convicted. Where was Charlie? In Tallahassee. And that was his doing, screaming at jail staff because allegedly the door to his cell hatch crushed his big toe. Yes, his toe. According to jailhouse video obtained by a small but mighty podcast called Spill the Crime Tea, Charlie Adelson, convicted murderer, former dental surgeon, and high society societal climber, launched into a full-scale verbal tirade because a corrections officer opened his food hatch too abruptly while he was standing there barefoot. That could hurt. Let's pause there for a second. This is a man who arranged to have his ex-brother-in-law assassinated. A man who wore a wire, tried to outsmart the FBI, got tripped up by his own mouth, and now with all that behind him, his greatest battle is door mechanics. The footage shows Charlie fuming. Every other word is an insult. He's demanding to see a lieutenant, telling people how stupid they are. Classic prison dominance posturing until the actual lieutenant shows up. Then allegedly, like a switch flip, Charlie softens. Yes, sir. No, sir. I just want my medicine. Suddenly, the big, bad, barefoot, tough guy is a compliant middle schooler getting called into the principal's office. It's almost Shakespearean. Shakespeare wrote about white-collar criminals throwing tantrums over stubbed toes in county jail. What stands out most in this footage, besides the jail's surprisingly clean two-tone paint job, is the entitlement. Charlie isn't just angry. He's offended. As if the staff should have known that the rules don't apply to him. That even behind bars, he's still Dr. Adelson, DDS. And heaven forbid you forget to knock before addressing him through the slot. This, by the way, isn't an isolated moment. Correction staff have documented his behavior, too. Entitled, unpredictable, and deeply fixated on perceived slights. That doesn't describe a narcissist at all. The toe incident wasn't a one-off. It was a window into how someone accustomed to control handles the complete and total absence of it. Which is to say, poorly. Both Donna and Charlie are, in the clinical sense, adjusting to incarceration. But in reality, they're spiraling. Donna is still in Leon County Jail. The transfer to her permanent facility in the progress. She's on tablets constantly, talking, complaining, broadcasting, to the point where jail staff literally noted, if information leaks from this unit, Donna did it herself. Charlie, meanwhile, is doing time in South Dakota, far from family, far from familiarity, and definitely far from the Ferrari. He's had his own behavioral write-ups from the infamous blanket over the bunk infraction, a no-no in high security units, to the aforementioned toe saga. He alternates between rage and resignation, between lashing out and curling inward. And while neither has proclaimed innocence with any conviction or clarity, they both seem absolutely convinced that they are victims of injustice. Which is fascinating, because actual victims like Dan Markell's children, who now grow up without a father, don't get jail logs or a chance to scream at the system or 6% battery on a taxpayer-funded tablet.
Instead, they get silence. Maybe that's the part that cuts deepest. Not the performative grief, not the tantrums, but the sheer audacity of it all. The way Donna, even now, can sob about her life being ruined when it was her decision that ended someone else's. The way Charlie still talks like he's owed something when he spent years trying to outmaneuver the law like it was a bad Yelp review. And maybe in that context, prison is the one place that makes sense, not because it reforms them, but because it finally reflects who they are. People who believe they're above consequences until the cell door slams and suddenly they're very much not. And in the end, the Adelsons are not exceptional, not really. They're textbook. They're what happens when entitlement meets desperation, when image overtakes ethics, when a family decides that murder is preferable to a messy court battle. And now, instead of planning birthdays, they're managing commissary deposits. Instead of manipulating court calendars, they're begging for tablet chargers. Justice doesn't always feel satisfying, but sometimes, if you listen closely through the walls of Leon County Jail, you can hear it screaming that it can't take it anymore. And honestly, it's kind of the point. Let me know your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, and that's where you'll find us. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you're listening to podcasts as well, so you don't miss any of our commentary and coverage of the stories that we got for you right here at True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.